With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 8:25 with Alan, Mike, and Mary. 3 scoops a day. Time for our local scoop, which is brought to us by Thomaston Savings Bank. And it's Free Therapy Thursday. Dr. Elaine Ducharme is our guest. A very difficult topic today, but a very important topic today. With the quarantine and most of us being home for the last 5 months, there's been a big increase in domestic violence. Good morning, Lainey.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks so much for having me on to be able to talk about this. I was actually talking to a colleague of mine, Dr. Wendy Havilow, yesterday, and we were discussing how suddenly people are finding themselves doing things like getting so mad they've thrown a plate across the room or thrown their phone or screaming out of control and just wondering, like, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
I've never done this before. And one of the problems is that we have people that are isolated and may not even like each other at this point anymore, but clearly we are seeing an increase in domestic violence. We even have some studies that are starting to come out showing emergency room x-rays where it's clear that we have victims coming in with increased fractures and, bruises that just pretty horrific kinds of things. And the thing that I really want to stress today is that people think of domestic violence, Mike, as you have to be physically battered, right? I have to have a broken bone or I have to have bruises that people can see. And that actually, obviously, that's a huge piece of
part.
It.
All right.
But really domestic violence, or what we might call intimate partner violence now, is about power and control. So things like name-calling, isolating people from their friends, controlling their finances,
mm-hmm.
sexual coercion, and gaslighting, which is a really interesting thing. I have more patients telling me they feel like they've been gaslit. And what that means is that they feel like the other person is trying to make them crazy. You know,
yep.
If you're trying
tell
to
tell you one thing and then it's something else.
Exactly. Or that didn't happen. When you know in your head that absolutely he was screaming yesterday, okay?
Yep.
And he says, that didn't happen. You were just, you just don't remember it. And after a while, your self-esteem can get worn down and you start believing those things. So it's really difficult. And, this isolation is huge in domestic violence, because if you don't have your friends to talk to or you're not seeing people, it's a lot easier to have, bruises hidden or not have a resource to talk to somebody about what you can possibly do.
And that's the biggest thing, Lainey. How can we intervene in a safe way and let our friends or our family member know that we've seen some signs and we're worried about them without them being upset?
Sure. So one of the things you can do is say things like, I've noticed that you seem really tense around Bob. And if somebody gets defensive, you can say, well, I just want you to know, I want you to have my number in case of an emergency, or if you feel like you are really scared, call me or text me this word, have a code word between you. And one of the things that you can do is help people, even if they say that it isn't important right now, that you can let them know that there are safety plans that can be developed and they're on the internet. I have one on my website. And maybe talk to them about, what would you do if you felt, you had to get out of your house or you were unsafe in your house?
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things that I'm seeing, and it's been over the last couple of years, that every time you go to a doctor's office and you fill out the questionnaires on your health status, there almost always seems to be a question of, do you ever feel unsafe in your own home?
Yeah.
And I really want to encourage people to, if they do, please, please say yes.
Yeah.
Because right now, things that normally couples get have fights about, you know, are really out there. So, for example, finances. You know, the major things couples fight about, finances and kids, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So if I say to people, when did your problem start? You know, and they say, well, we were married, it was wonderful, and then we had kids.
Mm.
And suddenly, you know, the moods, I have parents saying, well, they stopped paying attention to me. You know, dinner wasn't on the table when I walked in the door.
Or we were finally able to keep up with the bills, and now we've had a pay cut or lost a job, and things are harder.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are hungry. People, there's just so much happening. And the other thing is that in spite of the isolation, you know, obviously liquor stores have been open all through this. And we have definitely seen an increase in drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously makes it worse. And the other piece that I think is critical is poor communication skills. The breakdowns of relationships are so often tied to poor communication skills. And it's one of the biggest predictors of marital problems. So in my collaborative divorce work, excuse me, I routinely ask couples about how did you solve problems when you were at your best?
Mm.
And what do you think the answer is?
I would say that you need to be face-to-face and communicate with each other.
Right. But so one of the things is that when I ask them how they've done it in the past, they usually say they didn't. They would like either avoid the topic, one would walk away, one would just give in, and then much later when it was something else that had nothing to do with this, there'd be a blow up.
Yeah.
So, you know, avoiding the conflict, people sometimes feel proud, oh, we never fight. Well, you know, you're going to have differences of opinion, so you need to learn how to fight fairly. Overgeneralizing for people, you know, it's like you always do that or you've never taken care of the kids, really are triggering statements. And things like, you know,
yeah, always and never should never be used.
Yes, exactly. Because it's so true. I mean, you know, if my husband, who we've never had any disagreements, as I'm sure you and Carol have never.
Never.
We were talking about this the other day and he said, you know, it drives me crazy when you don't shut drawers.
There you go.
it may be simple, and I'm like, well, you know what? It drives me crazy when you do this. But then you have to stop and say, wait a minute. No, wait, I don't want to do a tit for tat. Does it really drive you crazy? I'm going to try much harder to be aware that I haven't shut the drawer all the way. And then, you know, this whole name-calling and gaslighting. So I want people to understand that anger is normal. I mean, you're going to get mad at each other, but it's what you do about it that's important.
Yeah.
And so I have some tips to help people sort of solve problems, because that's really, when we're working with divorcing couples and collaborative divorce, one of our goals is to help them learn how to be better problem solvers.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is stay focused on the problem. You know, if you're trying
Let's
to figure
dredge
out
up the past.
Yeah. Like, what's the problem here? Like, we are trying to share space and work at the same time. And we have kids running around the house. How are we going to do this? And, you know, each of you may have a definite opinion, but maybe you can start brainstorming and even literally write them down. You know, you can have the office from this time to this time, or we'll share the desk or whatever. Put down a whole bunch of ideas and then choose and say, okay, what would work for both of us? Because you're going to eliminate some of them. Some of them are going to be stupid, you know. And the other is listening. How often do we just prepare our next argument as the other person's talking?
Yeah.
So listening is critical, even if you don't agree. Because if you listen, then you can begin to think about, well, okay, maybe I understand that, or at least I'm hearing you. The always and never statements, as I said. But the other piece is take responsibility for your own behavior. If you've lost your control or if you've been miserable, you know, be willing to say it. You know, I know that I wasn't my best self, you know, earlier, or I know I'm the one that lost it. And that goes a long way.
And saying, I feel like you believe that I hurt you is not an apology.
Exactly. And, you know,
you have to own it.
Absolutely. You know, and sometimes you have to say things like, you know what? Even if my intention wasn't there and I didn't realize I was hurting you, you felt hurt, and I want to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important. Trying to find compromises, saying I statements, and then if you really can't get, you know, get it resolved, there are two things. One, set a time and say, we will come back in 2 hours and we'll sit down again.
Yep.
And in between, do not drink. Okay, mm-hmm. that just takes it to another whole level. But you could even say, let's talk about it tomorrow, but set a time so you both know this is what we're going to do, and it doesn't just get swept under the table, because that's one of the biggest issues when people say, we either scream at each other or we just don't talk about it. And then one family was saying the other day, we don't talk about it, but the other person gets really mad, they leave, and they don't talk to anyone in the family for a week or two. And that obviously doesn't get anybody anywhere. So it just builds up more resentment. Mm. And so, again, I want to stress, you know, the safety plan. If you're stuck, sometimes you're stuck in your own house, Mike, and you're afraid, and what do I do? So a safety plan will give you ideas as to how to de-escalate arguments, also what rooms to go to in your house, where you can feel safe and escape. You don't ever want to be stuck in a kitchen that doesn't have an escape route and there's knives in there. So you want to maybe go to a bathroom where you could get out if you had to. Have a safety word with your kids. And as part of a safety plan, it's always what you should have packed and in a private place, you know, money, your passports, any important documents, that if you had to get out in a hurry, that you could. Those are really critical pieces of information.
Dr. Elaine Ducharme is our guest. Doctor, how about some resources? Are there websites or phone numbers?
Absolutely. So first of all, the first resource is you can reach out and contact a psychologist or someone else trained in problem solving and conflict resolution. But we also have a local domestic violence hotline. That number is 1-888-774-2900. And that's Connecticut. And then the national hotline is 1-800-799-7233. And those numbers will connect you to someone to talk to, maybe lead you to resources in your community, and even domestic violence shelters as well as groups. So we just want everybody to stay safe during this really, really tough time.
Difficult topic, but very important. Dr. Ducharme, if someone would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
DrElaineDucharme.com.